Welcome to Life in Debt, your practical debt education program. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, an award-winning, listener-supported, open-source grassroots community radio station broadcasting from the Cultural District in Fairfield. Please note that these presentations are provided as a public service for general information purposes only and are not intended to be legal opinions, legal advice, or complete discussions of any legal issues. Remember, every individual's factual situation is different, and you should seek independent legal advice from an attorney familiar with the laws of your state or locality regarding specific information. The name of this show is Life and Debt, and it is a weekly half-hour educational show looking at all types of issues related to debt as it influences your life. This show provides practical, general knowledge about what to look for regarding debt, what are its traps and pitfalls, and what to do to be an educated debtor. Please get some notebook, paper, and a pen so you can take notes during the show. Every week I start by looking at some debt-related news and facts. Recently, since the new law in 2005, we've seen a lot of media coverage on bankruptcy, and in that coverage, oftentimes, as I've been talking about in the last several weeks, there are some myths that have been created and disseminated through the media, mostly by big businesses and credit card companies in particular, but in fact by the credit industry in general, which works hand in hand with the biggest media companies, which are in themselves big businesses, to paint a picture about what debt is all about and what bankruptcy is all about and the effects of it. We're at the point this week where we're looking at just a basic premise, the myth that goes out that you are a failure if you file bankruptcy. This, of course, is a huge issue and is something that each individual will handle differently because of the psychological component of these kinds of statements. People generally do feel bad about filing bankruptcy, but the depth of that is a personal effect. Everyone is going to handle the circumstances differently. But it is important to recognize that such a statement like you are a failure if you file bankruptcy actually avoids the facts which in most cases create a bankruptcy. There is all kinds of both implicit and explicit finger pointing and blaming that can take place in relationship to filing a bankruptcy. However, if we look at the studies about what precipitates a bankruptcy, it's interesting to note, in contradiction to the myth that people are failures, the studies show that most bankruptcies are generally caused by circumstances which are beyond a person's or a family's control, such as health problems and the medical expenses that are associated with them. In short, medical expenses are a major cause of bankruptcy filings. And that, of course, is medical expenses that are not covered by insurance. And contrary to what is thought, Professor Warren discovered that, in fact, many bankruptcies result when people had medical insurance, but because of the new way that medical insurance is limiting its coverage to specialties, to certain things it covers, to copays, and complicated insurance terms that most people don't even understand or recognize when they get their medical insurance policy, the coverage in the circumstances is not effective and huge bills come that can't be covered by the policy. So people were responsible and they thought that they had the circumstances and risks covered, but it turns out that they didn't. So health problems are one very basic reason why people file bankruptcies, and this certainly negates any theory that the person was a failure, and that's why he or she filed bankruptcy. Another thing that happens, which is in many bankruptcy filings, as the sole or major factor in creating a bankruptcy is employment difficulties. People lose their jobs or get laid off for a while. In the current economy, there's a lot of this going on. Or in some businesses, salaries are getting cut. Even though you still have your job, you're not getting what you used to in order to keep the job and keep the company going on. And another thing is that we have become families that have lived within the two-income trap. Both the husband and the wife are working, and our entire home budget is based on two incomes. And if one of the spouses loses a job or gets reduced pay, this can throw off the entire home economy. But again, this is something that is a social impact on the family, and it's not a personal fault. So having to file bankruptcies because of that kind of employment situation is not a failure. The third major reason why people file bankruptcies, which will also contradict that an individual is a failure, therefore he or she is filing bankruptcy, happens to be relationship problems, matrimonial problems. Divorce, separation, all are contributing factors in creating an economic stress for an individual. Separation alone creates the reality that now there are two households being maintained. This, of course, can completely destroy a family budget. These kinds of human strains and financial strains are not usually something that we can control, but they are and can be the basis for the need to file bankruptcy. So these are just some examples of the factors which precipitate the need to file bankruptcies: health problems, employment problems, marital problems. And these kinds of things are, in essence, out of our control. So someone with that kind of challenge is not in any way fairly defined as a failure. In some, despite what the media is trying to report, and certain talk time radio hosts and TV hosts who personally are making a lot of money in taking these kinds of angles and trying to convince people that they should never file bankruptcy. I could think of one in particular, but I won't say his name. You are not a failure if you file bankruptcy, according to the studies and statistics. If you're just tuning in, this is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and this program is Life and Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. Now I'd like to go into the second segment of the show, where I speak about practical points of knowledge that can help you to understand your circumstances financially, debt, and how to deal with budgets, etc. And as is always, I give an important credit, because the thoughts, ideas, and examples used in these programs are directly from or based on the work, theories, and books of Professor Elizabeth Warren from Harvard and her daughter Amelia Warren Tyagi, two of America's leading champions for debtors, and I highly recommend their books, All Your Worth and The Two-Income Trap. And you can also go back to the archives at www.kruufm.com. in the Life and Debt section, and you can listen to all of the shows that I have made in various areas dealing with many, many issues regarding debt and budgets. Recently, I've been going over a number of important principles and techniques to deal with financial difficulties, in particular, what was called financial CPR, when things are getting really tough. And last week, I had reached the point where people have tried other things and dealt with other issues and were frankly at the junction of filing for a bankruptcy, or at least understanding it and investigating what it all means. People do feel that they were raised right, that they are spiritual in many cases, and according to their spiritual tenets, they're supposed to pay their bills and repay their debt. But because of a variety of circumstances, as I said earlier, most likely are out of their control and not directly caused by something they consciously did out of greed or wrong thinking or behavior. But the debt has mounted, it's amassed, and they are worrying about it constantly. They're getting harassed by creditors. Their employers are getting calls from creditors. Their family's getting calls from creditors. There's lawsuits coming down the pike. And so they conclude that they have to do something. They just can't do this anymore. They can't allow this kind of thing to happen. So the concept of bankruptcy becomes real for them, and it is a useful technique. Bankruptcy is all about hope for the future. It often sounds to people like it is the end of the line, and it certainly can be a gut-wrenching experience, and one we hope that we never have to face. But if you do, you won't be alone, as I mentioned before, because every 15 seconds, someone makes the decision to walk into bankruptcy court. And more people do file bankruptcy each year than graduate from college. And many people around you that you know have quietly filed bankruptcy. And as I mentioned, bankruptcy is now more common than cancer. If your financial situation gets really bad, filing bankruptcy may be your best option. Again, by way of review, bankruptcy is essentially a one-time get-out-of-jail-free card like Monopoly that lets you erase many of your debts, and in some cases, actually a lot of cases, all of your debt. The bankruptcy code is designed essentially to achieve two goals. First, when you are at a point where there is no hope of repaying all your debt in a timely fashion, the bankruptcy process is designed to treat your creditors fairly, or at least as fairly as possible. In particular, and this is a very common thing that happens, there is an aggressive bill collector, and that collector is pushing aside other people you owe money to. And the system is created to make sure that when you don't have enough to pay all your debts in full, then the back payments to, for example, your landlord or your dentist get the same treatment as your old bills from, let's say, Citibank or Ford Motor Credit Company. They're treated the same in most situations. The second thing is that bankruptcy is there for you to give you a fresh start. And this is a very important point, as I highlighted last week. The Founding Fathers inserted a bankruptcy provision into the Constitution before they even added the Bill of Rights, because they wanted Americans to have an alternative to England's debtors' prisons and a lifetime of debt, which was a big scenario in Europe and really anathema to the people of America. Bankruptcy is based on the principle of getting a second chance. This creates an opportunity for you to get back on your feet financially. Bankruptcy is something that can be done only every so often. There are a number of different kinds of bankruptcies, and it could be as long as 8 years before a person is entitled to file another bankruptcy, and in some situations, less time than that. There are essentially four kinds of bankruptcies. There's a Chapter 7, which is a straight liquidation bankruptcy, and I'll go more in detail about a Chapter 7. There's a Chapter 11, which is a reorganization kind of bankruptcy, which we see most often related to big businesses. However, under the new law, Chapter 11 is being used by consumers also to reorganize. And this is something that is just now unfolding in experience because of the changes in the law. There's a Chapter 12 kind of bankruptcy for farmers and fishermen, which, even though you may be living in a state like Iowa, actually are quite infrequent in filing. Although there's a lot of farming operations that do have financial challenges, sometimes they do a Chapter 12 and sometimes they do a 7 or perhaps the next one, which is a Chapter 13. Chapter 13 is a debt repayment plan that is supervised by a trustee over 3 to 5 years where debt is paid back. And we'll go more into this Chapter 13 in detail. In essence, there are those four basic kinds of bankruptcies, 7, 11, a 12, and a 13. But we'll just deal with the 7 and 13 because, for the most part, this is the bulk of consumers' filings. If you're just tuning in, this is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and this program is Life and Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. Bankruptcy is a massive topic. It takes specialists and a long time of education and experience to fully comprehend the field. But what I want to do is condense it down to some very basic principles and simple understanding so people can appreciate the parameters and usefulness of the system, as I said, a Chapter 7 and a Chapter 13 in particular. There's a lot that I will not be covering, obviously, and if you have personal concerns and issues about your debt, you should seek out professional help and not go on what is heard on a television show or a radio show or from some popular icon in debt management or from even an article that you read somewhere. You need to sit with or at least talk on the telephone with somebody who is a professional who is neutral and can answer your personal questions and address your concerns. With that in mind, let's talk a little bit about a Chapter 7. If you are like approximately 70% of all people who are in financial trouble, you would file under a Chapter 7, what is also called a straight bankruptcy or a liquidation bankruptcy. It's a clear the slate kind of bankruptcy. And I think the single most important point, and it actually has a state-based factor associated with it, is what we can keep when we file bankruptcy. These are called exemptions, and the exemption law is very critical for a Chapter 7 and a Chapter 13. What the exemption law does is give you asset protection for start over kinds of items. In other words, these are things that your creditors can't touch during the bankruptcy process or thereafter. While it is true that by the time most people hit the bankruptcy courts, that there are very little assets that they still have that are worth selling, even if they were not exempt. But it is important that we understand there are exemptions which protect what we do have. At this point, without going into great detail, you need to know that exemption law has two bodies of law that deal with exemptions. One is the federal exemptions, and the other is the state where you live, its exemptions in that state. When the bankruptcy law exemptions statute was put into effect, it allowed states to opt out of the federal exemptions if they wanted. In other words, that state would not use the federal exemptions. It would use the state exemptions for its residents who are filing bankruptcy. Of course, every state is different on this, but let's just use Iowa as the example, as the show is in Iowa. Iowa was a state that did opt out of the federal exemptions. And if you are someone who resides in Iowa and have lived here for at least 2 years, then you could use the state exemptions, which are quite good to someone who is starting over. Briefly, Iowa is one of three states which has a spectacular homestead exemption, which means that your homestead equity cannot be touched by your creditors whose debt arose after you had that homestead. Of course, there are issues associated with that, but just as a general rule, this is a wonderful thing. A homestead is exempt against most, if not all, debt for people who are filing bankruptcy and they have lots of equity in their house. Just to be clear, the mortgage debt is using the house as collateral, so the homestead exemption is waived there. In the state of Iowa, there are a lot of very specific kinds of exemptions, but just to give you some idea of the important basic kinds of exemptions, we have household goods that are exempt up to $7,000 per person filing. In equity value, each person can also exempt equity in an automobile that they own worth up to $7,000 in equity. Person can have up to $1,000 in cash on hand. They can have wearing apparel that is in with that $7,000 of household exemption. And when we say $7,000, this isn't what it costs, but really what it's worth currently after depreciation, etc. There is exemptions for jewelry, wedding bands, even engagement rings. There are some qualifications, but for the most part, people can keep things like that. There are exemptions for Social Security benefits, veterans benefits, disability or illness benefits, for retirement funds such as IRAs and 401ks, for certain tools of trade, and on and on. So just generally speaking, a person filing bankruptcy in Iowa will have a fairly good start over set of assets which the creditors cannot touch, and gives people the bare necessities foundation to create a new financial life. So this is all very good. You certainly need to speak to a professional regarding your specific assets and circumstances, but you need to be clear that you are very well protected in a basic sense. And also, if you think about these things early enough, there are benefits to what is known as exemption planning, to place you in the right circumstances. If, even though you're not in an insolvency posture, down the road, if that ever came up, you would have all your basics taken care of, which frankly, many people do not do. They don't think of it. As I mentioned in the past, people are often, for example, taking their retirement funds to try to pay off credit cards. This, in most cases, is a very foolish thing to do. Or people are also taking the equity in their homestead, in their house, on a refinancing loan and using that to pay off unsecured debt. This could be fatal, and in fact, we're seeing that it is fatal to many people across the country who have taken fixed-rate mortgages, switched them to adjustable-rate mortgages to get extra money, and then are now in foreclosure because they can't pay the reset mortgage rate payment anymore. The unsecured debt that they use the equity for would have gone away in a bankruptcy, so that was not a wise idea. Again, one has to be very clear that it depends on the state one is in, because these exemption rules and exemption planning as a result will be very different in different states. But essentially, in this liquidation kind of bankruptcy, a Chapter 7 bankruptcy, in Iowa, for example, a vast majority of the cases are no asset cases. In other words, once the exemptions are considered, there is nothing worth much left over for the trustee to liquidate and sell so that the unsecured creditors can get a little piece of what is owed them. People who are struggling financially need to have this knowledge so that they can properly assess their circumstances and then look at their options. As I mentioned earlier, 70% or more nowadays of people who are pursuing bankruptcy because they need it will be in a Chapter 7 liquidation bankruptcy. Looking at a Chapter 7 bankruptcy then, you're going to look at what assets do you have, what assets are exempt, and then under the new law, also the household gross income over the last 6 months. There are schedules based on national standards and state standards called median income standards. A single person household living in Iowa, the median income is about $41,000, just a little over that. So if you're making less than that as your gross income per year, based on the last 6 months, then usually there's no problem with at least starting out under a Chapter 7 analysis. So you can go through what is a quicker track to get rid of your debt than through a Chapter 13. And what is amazing is how many tens of thousands, some cases hundreds of thousands, even up to millions of dollars in debt get relieved in a Chapter 7 for a relatively small amount of costs and fees to obtain that discharge. Next week, we'll go into a more expanded analysis of the Chapter 7 type of bankruptcy and how the consumer who is struggling with debt can benefit based on his or her or the family circumstances. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you have been listening to Life in Debt, your debt education program. If you have any questions or comments, call the station at 641-209-1083, or you can email me at lifeanddebt@gmail.com. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. May you enjoy and have a healthy and prosperous debt-manageable life.